Jim was asked to do that at the last minute, so not so easy. Hear the word of the Lord for our meditation this day. As you just heard it read, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that on this third day of Christmas, as we celebrate, if we're singing that song, the three French hens, representative of faith, hope, and love. Lord, help us as your children, holy and beloved, to put on the gift of your Holy Spirit, to walk in your power each and every day, to marvel as Mary and Joseph did at the words of Simeon and the praise of Anna. Lord, help us as your people to marvel, to ponder all the wonderful things that you have done, the things that you are doing, and the things that you have in store for us. And help us to walk as people who know we serve a God who is so much more than we can ever imagine or even think. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oh, we have children's time. Okay, I didn't know we did. Awesome. I bet you all the kids are happy about that. You guys want to go to children's time with fellow Miss Clamola? Thank you. That's awesome. I name this sermon, The Results of the Firstborn Son of Mary, the Firstborn Son of God. Today we heard in the gospel lesson of Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus in the temple. They were following the rules. Twice it says in the gospel lesson that they were doing what they were commanded to do. And you heard James read Exodus 13, where we are from Exodus today, where we heard that we were to consecrate to God all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. That's what the Lord says. And so if you read Leviticus 12, it says that you're to bring the firstborn to the priest. And so this was a custom. This was something they were required to do, which I think is kind of significant. And they're going about doing the normal things that a Hebrew couple would do when they had a baby. What I find fascinating, what I would like to ask you to think about today, is that everything that has been happening in Luke chapter 2, if you read it closely, there's several times where Luke says, and Mary stored all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Remember that? She's pondering. Well, everything that they do with baby Jesus brings about a response. It brings in his parents and those people around him a response of some kind. And that's why, I guess, as I think of Christmas and as I ponder what does the Lord want us to experience in these 12 days of Christmas, it's that he wants us to experience and to ponder, to marvel at his presence in the midst of his people and what it does bring. Because the presence of Christ in the midst of his people brings a response. Sometimes it's a negative response, right? Sometimes it's a very positive response. What's worse is what it says in Revelation is a lukewarm response. What does Jesus say about a lukewarm response? He's talking about the church in Laodicea. What does he do? Spews out of his mouth. When I look around at our society today, I would say that the majority of people are not necessarily against God, and they're not necessarily for God, but they're kind of indifferent to God. The town that I grew up in, which was a very Lutheran town, I was just reading that less than 40% of the people actually put church into Christmas in any way, shape, or form. In one way, it's positive because they're concentrating on family, but it's sad that family doesn't include the Lord in his church. 40%. When I was growing up, you were an oddity if you didn't go to church, at least at Christmas. We used to call them the Secret Service, Christmas and Easter. You know, there were plenty of Christmas, but at least, at the very least, you went on Christmas. But things have changed. And so when what I want to ask you today is, how have you marveled? How have you pondered during these first 3 days of Christmas? What has gotten you to marvel? What has the Lord done in your life? What has the Lord done in the lives of people around you? It's amazing when you just take time to be still and know that God is real. That He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the one that was promised, and He has come. He is God in Christ made manifest. He is the Word made flesh. Well, it's important that what they did in the temple, because the rights of the firstborn son under Hebrew law, the law of Moses, was the firstborn son was automatically the head of the house. This is not unusual, isn't this, in most cultures? I mean, somebody asked me a while back why there were so many Germans in Pennsylvania and other places. Why are there so many Germans, and even in this area, in Ann Arbor? And I thought it was interesting because if you know the history, I know the history of the German people, is that the firstborn son got the farm. So if you had more than one son, then what did that son, the other sons have to do? They either had to get a profession, they go in the military, or they go in the priesthood, or they move and get land someplace else. Well, all the land was taken up, right? So where did they come? The U.S., Canada, places where there was land. South America, a lot in South America. Matter of fact, there's huge populations in Argentina and Brazil, you know, because they had to go someplace, because if they were not the firstborn, they didn't get it. And in Israel, what was really important is if you had multiple sons, the firstborn got a double inheritance. Pardon me? Not fair. Yeah. And that's why it was so important when Jacob falsely received Esau's blessing. Remember that? He tricked his father into giving him the blessing. And his father, when he went back to him, he says, I have nothing to give. When Esau begged his father to give him the blessing, which was rightly his, remember? He said, it was Isaac, sorry. I got this wrong. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jacob was giving, or just a second here. Yeah, right. Sorry. And then Elijah and Elisha. When Elisha asked if he saw Elijah leave, if he could have a double portion. And we might think, why did he want a double portion? We might think, well, just wants more power. Well, that meant he was his successor. He was his firstborn, basically, since he didn't have a firstborn. He would be his firstborn because he would get a double inheritance. And here we are, as Christ's beloved children, we get a double inheritance, right? We get that wonderful gift. We have that wonderful heritage. So they were doing the things you're supposed to do. On the eighth day, if you're a male child, you're to be circumcised. 33 days of purification. On the 40th day, you bring the boy to the temple. You sacrifice a lamb, but if you're poor, you sacrifice a pigeon and a turtle dove. And why you do two is because you sacrifice one as a thank offering, one as a sin offering. So you have to do both. So that's why we have in the song two turtle doves, right? Because there's one for the sin offering, one for the thank offering, okay? There's one for both. And they meet Simeon and Anna, and these are the next two instances that Mary would ponder in her heart. She would marvel at what Simeon said, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? She would marvel at it, just like she marveled at what the shepherd said. Just as she marveled at what the angel said. Just as she marveled at all the things that were happening there in Bethlehem, she marvels, she ponders, she reflects on what's happening as she does what is really, well, that's small. So I'm not going to go through that because you already heard it, but I was just going to point out a few things. One of the big things was that I wanted you to just pay attention here where Simeon blessed them and said, and his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed, may be revealed. This is a pretty big calling. And this is, again, this Simeon, who's filled with the Holy Spirit, who is a prophet, who's there at the temple, he gives this wonderful, we call it the Nunc Dimittis, this dismissal that we use in the liturgical service. And he tells them, this is what's going to happen. It's very important. And then there was the prophetess Anna, a daughter of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. And she is so excited. She is giving thanks to God that she sees Jesus. And again, Mary ponders these things. She marvels at them. So the firstborn son brings out amazing responses wherever he goes. In Bethlehem with the shepherds and the angels. In Jerusalem with Simeon and Anna. In Nazareth with his relatives and friends. And here today, he brings about responses. And for me, I've been pondering a few things. During this Christmas time, I've been not feeling great. That's why I was over here with the little glasses, because I didn't want to share anything with anybody. Because I've been doing better, and then I seem to come. I don't know what it is, but I seem to get every little bug that comes along, and I get better, and then I just so basically I've been spending a lot of time sleeping and watching movies. And the funny thing is, when I'm watching movies, the thing that gets me. This is what gets me. When people die in movies, the thing that gets me is I automatically think about their salvation. I'll tell you, it is the weirdest thing. And I don't know why the Lord has done that to me. Some people say, you know, it's a gift, because you're obviously, the Lord has given you a prophetic gift, because this is something that, you know, prophets worried about the truth. And they worried about this. I mean, I was watching a really good program, really good movie, one of these feel-good movies at the end, and the wife dies and they're Jewish, and the first thing I think about is, did she know the Messiah? Totally blew the end for me. It was supposed to be a good thing, but that's the kind of person that I am, and it just, you know, and that's why I keep thinking the firstborn son, this Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, the Christ, he brings about a response in people. For me, it brings about a response, and I ask the question, what are we doing to let more people know so that they're not just totally against him or indifferent, but they're for him? And I don't know what to do. I'll be honest with you. I struggle with this. I drive to church in the mornings and when I come during the week, and I pray, Lord, what do you want us to do? Because it would be so easy to dumb things down, wouldn't it? Take communion out because it's too complicated. Have sermons that are self-help type things. I can do those. As a matter of fact, I like reading self-help books. I get one every month, and I like it because it's usually very practical stuff, okay? I like reading blogs. I get up here and I can give you all kinds of pointers to help you with your life. We could just dumb it down. Say we believe in sanctity of life, yet support abortion and everything. I mean, we could do all this stuff. We could make this a user-friendly church. I saw a comic strip that was being passed around by some pastors, and there were two churches on two different sides of the street. One had a sign, come and hear what you want the Bible to say. And there was tons of people going in there. The other one was just the pastor standing behind a sign, hear what the Bible says. And that's the way it feels sometimes, doesn't it? Because God bless the pastors that are called to be those type of pastors of churches where they just are seeker-friendly. They don't have a lot of meat. You know, the idea is that the meat will come during the week, but in my experience, and this is why I struggle with it, my experience, people don't always have the time during the week to spend the time to receive the meat. So if they don't receive it on Sunday, when are they going to receive it in our culture? There are cultures where you can have a gathering of people on a Sunday where you can just come and worship and pray and hear the word and not take the sacraments, because there'll be another time during the week where they all come together on a Wednesday or a Tuesday evening, and it's just part of their culture. They come together. I ministered in places like this. You were mining communities where people did come together during the week. It was like their weekend. And so you could do that. That's not the way we're wired, is it? If you don't come on Sunday, how many times do you get together with fellow believers and do church during the week? Some of you do, okay? But, you know, as a rule, not very many. And so that's a concern to me. So there's always going to be a response. The firstborn of all creation is going to bring up a response. In Colossians chapter 1, this is what St. Paul says about the firstborn. He said, "He is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And from Jesus Christ," this is Revelation 1, verse 5, "from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood." And Romans 8, 29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." See, the idea of the firstborn is important to us. We believe, we confess, we teach. It's who we belong to. We belong to the firstborn. We belong to the firstborn Son of God. That's what we confess. We understand this. What is the result of Jesus in us? St. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Then he goes on in chapter 3 that we had part of it read to us today. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is very important, isn't it? You see, we don't, when we recognize the firstborn brings about a response, the response is we who believe in him, we recognize that it's a call to leave the things of this earth behind and to focus on the things from above, to take off the things. This is what he says in verse 5. He says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is adultery. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." And then the words that we heard earlier, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, so what to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm going to tell you, it's tough to be a confessional church today. It's tough to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't know how people can get up and say things that are contrary to the word of God, that don't acknowledge his very presence, who don't believe the truth of what he says when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." What he says when he says, "This is my word, it is alive and well, and it will touch people's hearts and change people's lives." I cannot believe people can get up and in the name of Jesus say things that are not true. It's just unbelievable. It's unfathomable to me. And yet we live in a time where people can do that. They can get up and say they represent Jesus and say things that are against life. I mean, it just blows my mind that this is happening in such a time as this, because the Lord has called us to be true. Because in Christ, we receive grace and truth. Brothers and sisters, may we be a people who are moved by the presence of Emmanuel. May we leave here today as beloved children of the firstborn Son of God and live lives worthy of this gift. May we put on those things that were mentioned earlier by St. Paul in chapter 3. May we be the people he's called us to be. Amen.